Welcome to the Eye on Football podcast, middle of the week, as we prep for week two of the preseason in the NFL. Will Brinson here with Ryan Wilson. We are going to take a look at Bears-Jaguars, and then we're going to come back later this week and preview the rest of it. But then we're going to preview week two on Friday, right? But Ryan, what we're going to do while we talk about Bears-Jaguars is something we're planning to do for the rest of the league too, is go through divisions and do best case, worst case. So like, dream scenario for the Jaguars. Everything unfolds right. What does their season look like? And then, you know, what's the Armageddon situation for the Jaguars? So should we start with that now, just so it's up front?
Yeah, because really no one cares about that game, I don't think.
Although I will say it is an interesting game because the Bears' defensive line looked much better. I still haven't, you know, sat down and watched the full preseason look of it. But, I mean, their defensive line looked much better in week one than they did last year. And I think they, you know, Phil Emery went out and did that. And then the Jaguars have Blake Bortles involved. So there is some intrigue in that game. But we'll get to that in a minute.
Right.
Let's start with the NFC North. Best case, worst case, Armageddon, dream scenarios. We need something catchy. Because Armageddon works, but then I don't know what, like, the dream scenario is other than just a dream scenario.
All right, well, let's just look at this. We'll talk. Oh, this looks good. So I'm looking at the Bears' schedule, their regular season schedule. Starts with Buffalo, 49ers, Jets, Packers. So the first 4 weeks. Oh, boy, that's going to be tough. I mean, we'll find out a lot in week two when they face the 49ers. You would think they'd beat the Bills, but who knows? But I think when you get to the week four game against the Packers, then there'll be go time. That game is what? Oh, that's a 1 p.m. game, and it's in Chicago. All right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as you pointed out, it starts with the defensive line. Julius Peppers is a new addition. Who else do they have?
Julius Peppers is a gone addition.
Oh, wait. Where is he now? He's in...
if we're talking about the Bears, he's in Green Bay.
He's in Green Bay. Oh, so yeah. Who's their new defensive line?
It is not 2013. Their new defensive line is Lamar Houston, Willie Young, Jared Allen, and then they drafted Ego Ferguson and Willie Sutton in the draft with first three picks. And they also added Kyle Fuller out of Virginia Tech at cornerback.
Yeah, I like Kyle Fuller a lot. I love Kyle Fuller coming out of the draft. I like this defensive line better than last year. Okay.
Last year was terrible. Last year was like epically. Their defense last year, were it not for the Cowboys existing, and we'll talk about them later. We talked about them in the last podcast. But were it not for the Cowboys existing, the Bears would have. I don't think the Bears were worse than the Cowboys. But the Cowboys and the Bears were the two worst defenses maybe in football last year.
Well, let's just double check. Looking at our buddies, the Football Outsiders. But yeah, I love Kyle Fuller. I actually wanted the Steelers to draft him, and the Bears took him right before. Chicago was 25th, according to Football Outsiders, 32nd against the run.
32nd, exactly. Their defensive line was non-existent last year. They couldn't do anything to stop anyone.
So there you go.
If the additions they picked up work out, I think...
Let me ask you this quickly.
Okay.
Who's going to be the better addition, Jared Allen in Chicago or Julius Peppers in Green Bay?
I'd rather have Jared Allen in Chicago by a long shot, mainly because I think he's got more miles left in the tank. I think he could get by on sheer, like, psychotic.
Mullet power?
Yeah, mullet power psychoticness, whereas Julius Peppers will maybe not be as good in that 3-4 defense with Dom Capers. I'll say this. I think the best-case scenario for the Bears is a Super Bowl title.
Well, clearly, that's the best case scenario for the Jaguars, too, but guess what?
Well, no. But I think it's a realistic best case scenario is the Bears win the Super Bowl. I don't think I know that sounds crazy, but they have – Jay Cutler has to play really well, and he has to play the whole season. They have the best two wide receivers.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
I think even if he gets hurt, that's fine, because you know who the backup's going to be this week? Jimbo Clausen.
That's right, buddy. Jimbo Clausen, Super Bowl champion. Hey, what if him and Mr. Mittens, David Carr, both have Super Bowl rings?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, just... weird world we live in. And I don't disagree with you. We're going to find out early. The Buffalo game, they should win. If they don't win the first game against Buffalo.
You have to revise.
I'll just burn this podcast. At San Francisco, that's a Sunday night game at San Francisco. I expect them to lose that game. I mean, no question.
Handily.
But
going into San Francisco is tough. They'll be playing in the Blue Jeans Stadium, so that maybe that'll be a different atmosphere than the Candlestick. But it's
five of their first eight games, and their bye is week nine, are on the road, including at Carolina, at San Francisco, at the Jets. I think the Jets are better than people expect. At Atlanta, I think they'll win that, and at New England. I mean, look, this is a tough schedule, and they play the Packers at home, and then they get the Dolphins at home. I don't think that they're necessarily going to be 8-0 coming out of that.
This team is not going to the Super Bowl. They may not make the playoffs. Look at their final three games of the season. Saints, Lions at the Vikings to end it. So, I mean, this is a horrible schedule for them.
It's not easy, but look, at least once you get past that bye, then you play Green Bay at Green Bay. That's clearly a tough game. But Minnesota, Tampa Bay, your two games against Detroit, I don't think Detroit's going to be that good. We'll get to them in a second, too. But the Saints are my Super Bowl pick right now, so that's a tough game. It's in Chicago, though. They could win that. And Dallas is a freebie. Dallas is terrible.
Yeah, that's right.
Dallas okay, so, so I think, and the reason I say this is if you look at what Phil Emery did in reinventing the Bears offense over the last two off seasons, and the way that he reinvented that offensive line and the way that he reinvented the wide receiver core. I mean, Brandon Marshall was there. We locked him down. Martellus Bennett is in. Matt Forte, he's got these big, tall guys at receiver, at running back, at tight end. And I think that if he pulled it off with this defense and he reinvented that defensive line overnight and he added enough help in the secondary, that this is a Super Bowl caliber team. Now, I don't think that they're going to win it. I mean, they wouldn't be my pick. I might pick him as far as the NFC Championship game, and Jay Cutler's a wild card in all of this, but you see the work that Mark Trestman's done with quarterbacks. I think the Bears are a viable Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, I think they'll be good.
So what's your best case, dream scenario?
Actually, I want to look real quick at their offensive line. How did their offensive line play last year?
They were substantially better. Remember, they drafted Kyle Long in the first round, Jordan Mills in the fifth round, added Matt Slauson.
Yeah, so they were
added Jermon Bushrod.
20th in run blocking, according to Football Outsiders. And, hey, look at that. They were fifth in pass protection.
That's right. And remember, 2 years ago,
they were awful.
Awful.
Yeah, that's when Cutler punched one of the tackles.
Ferguson.
Jamarcus Webb.
Jamarcus Webb, that's right.
Yeah, the other Jamarcus.
Yep.
But I think they can be good. It seems what happens usually with this team is that they start strong out of the gate with Cutler. And then at some point, the wheels come off. Last year was a little different, but I think because Cutler got hurt, that's also sort of been an issue. But I think that they can be competitive. I wouldn't be surprised to make the playoffs. I wouldn't be surprised if they finish second in that division. But they're not getting out of the wild card round if they get that far. I like them, but I think they're sort of stuck behind a couple of eight balls and every other team. I mean, this is a good conference. I mean, you start with Seattle and San Francisco,
yeah.
Green Bay, New Orleans. So there's no way they're going through one or two of those teams to get to the Super Bowl. If Cutler stays healthy, they win. Oh, God. I mean, that schedule's so tough, though. They can win 10 games. If they win 10 games, that's the upper limit. I don't see them winning much more than 10 games.
10 games with that schedule, all of a sudden you're battle-tested and you're going to the playoffs. And you can play outdoors.
Make the playoffs. You don't make the playoffs.
They didn't make the playoffs last year. If I weren't picking the Saints to win it all, and that's what I'm doing, eventually, when it happens, I would pick the Bears.
All right. Maybe you got an early Steelers-Bears Super Bowl prediction. Maybe I'll stick with that.
Who had that? I might go with that. That's a good Super Bowl.
Well, you'll be alone, and if you win that, you deserve it.
That's right. If you hit that, then I wonder what the odds are on that. It's got to be like 100-1, right?
I can tell you, yeah, it's zero.
No. I mean, like the Vegas odds, because you can bet on certain teams in the Super Bowl. So I wonder what the odds are on that.
No, I'm sure they'll happily take that bet.
Yes, that's correct. So, what is the worst case scenario? The Armageddon nightmare for the Bears. I mean, to me, it's pretty obvious. Is Jay Cutler, as he has done several times in the last few years, gets injured. They try to bring in Jordan Palmer, Jimmy Clausen, or David Fales, the rookie they took in the sixth round. Mark Trestman runs out of magical QB fairy dust. Yeah. He cannot sprinkle it on those guys, and all of a sudden the Bears are in the same situation the Panthers were in 2010, where they had Jimmy Clausen leading them. Now, this is a better Bears team. The defense doesn't come together. The defensive line is terrible. The rookies can't make an impact. They can't get after the passer. They can't stop the run. And they melt down to a five-win season.
Yeah, five or six wins. And they could finish behind the Vikings, because if the Vikings defense somehow holds up and Adrian Peterson just runs the ball 30
times. For 2,000 yards, sure.
Yeah, they'll win six games by accident. Matt Castle's not terrible. I mean, he's an average quarterback, but you can certainly win games with him. But if Cutler's out and you're going with Jimbo Clausen or whatever plan B is, if it's not him, then you have some trouble. And especially as you point out, the defense struggles. If they can't stop the run, then Adrian Peterson will be seeing, you know, a lot of AP in those two matchups. And the schedule sucks. It's a hard schedule. It's not a good schedule for an easy road to the playoffs.
And you're going against the Packers offense and the Lions offense, both of which are high powered units, neither of which is fun to play against. And I like the Vikings this year, but I see those offenses in those divisions, three really good offenses, and I have a hard time thinking they'll succeed. Let's go to Green Bay, the Packers. What's your best case scenario for the Packers? This was a pretty easy one, I imagine.
Yeah, I mean, they go all the way. I'm looking at their schedule. Let's see what they got here.
I mean, they have a Super Bowl win in the last 5 years, so not very difficult. I mean, you know, it's not difficult to imagine Aaron Rodgers putting this team on its back.
Yeah, no, just like the Patriots and the Broncos, as long as you have the guy under center, you have a really good chance. Jordy Nelson's awesome. Randall Cobb really wants to sort of prove that he's worth that contract they gave him. And, you know, he's pretty dynamic when he gets the ball in his hands, no matter how he feels about it. The offensive line seems to be an issue always, partly because the way Rodgers plays, he's sort of like Big Ben light in that he'll like to create plays. He's not as stubborn in the pocket, and he'll get rid of the ball, but he'll also take some hits. Everybody loved Eddie Lacy. It'll be interesting to see how he bounces back in year two.
James Starks played well at the end of last year.
Yeah, he sure did. And then on the other side of the ball, B.J. Raji's back. You know, defense is sort of going to be an issue, I think, as it has been for most of the time. Dom Capers there, oddly enough. I'm not crazy about the Julius Peppers signing. Clay Matthews is Clay Matthews, but he struggles with injuries. Our buddy Pete Prisco has been on the Tremont Williams bandwagon forever, but he sort of was quiet about that last year. Williams didn't play quite as well. So I think it'll come down. Oh, I totally forgot about Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. I don't know how he played in the first preseason game. I didn't watch that that slop bowl in Tennessee. But defensively, I think this goes for a lot of teams, though, that have franchise quarterbacks. That defensively, that's where the questions lie, because you know you can score points. It's just a matter of finding the guys on the other side of the ball that can stop the other team. And I think on paper, the Bears' defense looks a lot better, but, you know, we'll have to see. They don't have Aaron Rodgers either.
Better corners maybe for the Packers, better defensive line for the Bears?
Well, listen, they have Kyle Fuller and they have Peanut Tillman.
Yeah, and Tim Jennings. But, I mean, Sam Shields, Casey Hayward, and Tremont Williams, I would take – not necessarily better second. I would take them over what the Bears have.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, I mean, Peanut's old. You don't know if you have a Kyle Fuller. He could look great on paper. Tim Jennings is good, but he's 2 feet tall. Fair enough.
Yeah, I think best case is Ha-Ha Clinton Dix comes in, makes an impact, you know, doing what he does as a hard-hitting safety. Julius Peppers is free to get after the passer because A.J. Hawk is – I mean, not A.J. Hawk. Clay Matthews is healthy. A.J. Hawk plays well, too. The defensive line, which is heretofore disappointed, B.J. Raji steps up and plays like he did during their Super Bowl run. Aaron Rodgers plays 16 games and they win the Super Bowl. I mean,
Well, the final four games of the regular season: Falcons at Bills, at Buccaneers, Lions.
So that's another one where now those are four games that the Bears have too. So don't give the Packers too much credit. But I mean, that's one of those where.
Where it comes in the schedule helps sometimes.
Right. Like, let's say Green Bay's hovering around 500 and they lose to the Patriots at home, and then all of a sudden they went out four to close out to either win the division, steal a wild card, but they're getting hot down the stretch. I think that's, you know, those are four good warm-up games for a playoff matchup.
If they're 6-6 after, and they play in week 13, they face the Patriots, they could lose that game, be 6-6, win out, and be 10-6 and be in very good shape.
Yeah, exactly, and that's a friendly reminder that football changes overnight. I mean, like, you know, everybody at that point in time, I mean, in this hypothetical scenario that doesn't seem that too far-fetched, they lose to the Patriots at home, and everybody's – they're six and six after that loss, and everybody's like, oh, the Packers are in trouble, boy. And then all of a sudden they win the Super Bowl, and everybody's like, well, where did that come from? Yeah. I think for them to win a Super Bowl, though, we're going to have to see – the same sort of thing that we saw from them when the last time they won it, which is the defense gets hot down the stretch. The defense is creating turnovers. And I think it boils down to that. I mean, Aaron Rodgers can carry the team, but they have to have all Super Bowl winning teams have a defense. I mean, that's kind of a common theme the last few years that nobody talked about. It's quarterbacks, but you also have to have a defense that gets hot.
Yeah. Which is why the Bengals didn't make it. It had nothing to do with Andy Dalton.
I mean, like, you want both, though. You know, you just snorted. Nice.
No, I was just a pot shot at Andy Dalton.
No, I know. And, I mean, look, what's the worst case? I mean, to me, the worst case for the Packers is when, you know, I mean, like, total worst case for the Packers is they win 9 games.
Yeah, so, right.
I mean, Armageddon is Aaron Rodgers. I mean, we saw Armageddon last year, right? Aaron Rodgers gets hurt. They have to sign Matt Flynn off the freaking street. They have to lean on Eddie Lacy, and they still won 8 games. I mean, that's the worst case scenario, 500.
Yeah, I was going to say Eddie Lacy could even have an off year, but that organization is used to not having a running game, so they could get by without that. I'm trying to think. The last time, the only team that it seems to have no issues with personnel are the Patriots. Like, as long as Tom Brady's there, they could literally have 10 guys whose names you don't know, and they will somehow win 10 games. In 08, the Packers went 6-10. I think Rodgers was hurt for some of that season. I think he suffered from concussions. But that's
it. That was pre Aaron Rodgers. I mean, like, you know, that was
right. Favre had left the year before. Yeah. Officially, that was his first year. 08 was his first year, I think, in with the Jets, sending dong picks to people. But right. So since then, they've been above 500. Even last year, they went 8-7-1 with the tie game. So I think that's right.
And, some sort of variance between 8 games and 16 games. I mean, that's. High low end. I mean,
they ain't going 6-10 again.
Right, exactly. So Lions, this is a fun team to play this game with.
This is between 0 wins and 14 wins.
I think 14 is too high, but that's okay. When you start to look at the Lions, I mean, you know, clearly they went out and their big, their big acquisition was Golden Tate. Did they sign him for agency?
Yeah, I mean, you'd want
and Eric Ebron. I mean, well, so here's the weird thing: is this team is heavily tilted toward on the offensive end of things. Matthew Stafford always leads the league in attempts. They're winging it everywhere. They throw it deep to Calvin Johnson. They fired their defensive-minded coach, brought in retread Jim Caldwell, who's an offensive-minded guru of sorts. I called him a retread. Is that bad?
He was killing it at Wake Forest. They scored a lot of points.
That's right. Yeah. But this team with this, you know, fairly, I thought a fairly good offensive personnel, although a lot of Lions fans complained about their lack of depth at wide receiver behind Calvin Johnson, goes out and signs Golden Tate in free agency for a big price, and then drafts Eric Ebron with their first round pick, 14th overall, I believe. 10th overall, right. Never mind. Yeah. And all of a sudden, you know, they have an excess of weapons on the offensive end. Did you like the Eric Ebron pick?
No, I didn't like it. I was concerned that the Steelers might be interested in 15. I was sort of glad that the Lions took him off the board. But he can't block. I mean, the Lions were talking about this the other day. He's been dropping passes in practice. He's having trouble with route running. All stuff that all rookies deal with. But why are you taking him? If you're pretty set offensively, as you point out, and you need help on the other side of the ball, why are you taking this guy? Yes, Brandon Pettigrew, the former first-round pick at Titans.
5 years ago, first-rounder. And Fioria.
And you have, what's his first name?
Joey Danson Fioria.
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, Pettigrew's a blocker, but he's still a capable tight end. And even if he's more blocker-oriented, you have so many other weapons. I don't understand the mindset here, unless it's strictly kind of Jim Caldwell trying to recreate what he had at Wake Forest. But, yeah, so, again, just like we were talking about with the Packers, it starts with the defense. But the difference is that you know what you're getting in Aaron Rodgers. And while I like Matthew Stafford, he's too inconsistent for this team to be successful from 1 week to the next, I think.
Yeah, I mean, like, I like the pick of Kyle Van Noy in the second round. That's another pass rusher option. Ziggy Ansah could come on strong, their last 2013 first-round pick. And Nick Fairley, I mean, the headline I saw, there was a PFT headline, but it was like, Nick Fairley getting fatter, falling down the depth chart. I mean, that's a big red flag. And Ndamukong Suh, they have all this first-round talent.
They did sign Quinn Glover, too, from Houston.
Yeah, I mean, that's nice. But, I mean, they're trotting out Rasheen Mathis and Darius Slay as their starting cornerbacks. This just, to me, has the team. This might be the team that could really challenge the Cowboys for that. We were talking about this the last podcast. Team that scores the most and gives up the most. Yeah, I mean, I think Armageddon is a 4-win season. I don't think it's that far-fetched.
Let's see. So they start off with the Giants. I don't know what to think of the Giants. They can win that game. Then they're at Carolina, and we'll find out what your boy Kelvin Benjamin's up to at that point. And then they play the Packers in week 3. This schedule's a little easier just on first glance than the Bears' schedule. I think the Packers look like they have the easy schedule of the bunch, but that also helps because they're the best team. Yeah, now four wins is possible. You just don't know what you're getting. If Matthew Stafford gets into one of these funks where he's throwing sidearm off balance, he can throw five picks in the game. And if the defense, I mean, as you point out, with Slay and Mathis as the cornerbacks, and Drayton Florence is one of the backups, I mean, this is a team that would have been awesome in 2002.
That's right. I mean, look at it, but like your home games are the Giants, who are a total wild card, the Packers, who you don't necessarily, I mean, that's not, certainly not a given. You're probably going to beat Buffalo at home.
Oh.
You got to play the Saints at home. I don't think they're winning that game.
No.
You got to play Miami at home. You hope you beat them. So that's two. You can play Chicago at home and beat them. Tampa Bay and Minnesota. I mean, that's not an easy home stretch. And this is a team that's built. I mean, similarly to the Saints, but I think the Saints are much more efficient and better run. But they're built, you know, to air it out and to be kind of a, you know, an indoor team. Like, you don't want – they have Joey Bell and they have Reggie Bush. Those are nice 1-2 punch. I mean, they really have an excess of options on offense, but I think it's almost to the detriment of their defense. And it was weird to see them go that way this offseason screened, we got to get better on defense. Maybe Jim Caldwell makes Matthew Stafford more efficient. I mean, I think that's the best-case scenario is Jim Caldwell is learn from his mistakes at Wake. It passes along some Peyton Manning, Joe Flacco knowledge he went to the Super Bowl. Passes along the knowledge to Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford becomes an efficient passer, and he can wing it all over the place. Calvin Johnson goes for 2,000 yards again. Golden Tate is a complimentary weapon. Eric Ebron doesn't drop too many balls. Reggie Bush and Joique Bell each have like 1,000 total yards. And this team wins 11 games. Because their defense stinks.
Good Lord. If this team wins 11 games, they'll win the Super Bowl. I just don't see it.
I don't either. I mean, look, I did I had to play out the records for all the teams because we're doing these previews down in Florida next week. And if I can bring – yes, I can bring mine up. I had the Lions – I had the Packers winning 12 games, Bears winning 11 games, Lions winning 6 games.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds more reasonable. I'm trying to think. They won 10 games in 2011 – which was a surprise to everyone. And other than that, they haven't won 9 games since 2000.
So, I mean, how is this team different than the team that struggled last year and fired Jimmy Schwartz, other than they don't have Jim Schwartz and they have Jim Caldwell? I mean, worst-case scenario is Jim Caldwell's face freezes in place on the sideline.
Wait, it hasn't?
right. Or, I mean, but it permanently freezes, and then, you know, they have to take him to the hospital or something.
Yeah, this is the same. The wild card here is Matthew Stafford. So if he is better, more consistent, then the team would be better. If not, they'll win 6 games. I don't see them. I mean, they won 7 games last year, and I don't think they were a 7-win team.
Now, they choked their faces off down the stretch. I mean, like
they lost 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of the last 7 games.
Remember, Jay Cutler and Aaron Rodgers were both hurt, and the Lions had Jimmy Schwartz had a window to get that team, you know, rolling and to make the playoffs for a second straight year. Or, sorry, 2 out of the last 3 years, because they had that early pick with Ansah, and they didn't do it. I mean, that's really, I think, why they went after Jim Caldwell. You know, it's the you break up with a girl and you go after a different type. I mean, could Jim Caldwell and Jim Schwartz be any different?
No. They hit into week 11 last year at 6-3.
Yeah.
End up 7-9.
So, I mean, in that sense, you know, this is the team that could, you know, get out to a 6-3 start. You look at their bye in week 9. I mean, so what's their record going into the bye? Let's say they beat New York at home, win or lose at Carolina. I would say lose.
Yeah, I'm looking at their record last year, the games they won. They really didn't beat anybody. So,
let's say they go 2-2 through those first 4 games. That's a best-case scenario.
Yeah, absolutely. That's right.
Then you win at Buffalo. You're 3-2. Maybe you go. Minnesota's now outdoors. Do you win there? Let's say you're 4-2 there, but then you lose to New Orleans at home. 4-3. I mean, 5-3, which is equivalent to what they were, is the absolute high end of that. Right? Yes. The answer is yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, so we don't know.
I was just looking at their schedule.
Yeah. It's a tough run. I mean, the Lions. I mean, look, who'd they beat to go 6-3?
They didn't beat anybody. Yeah, they didn't beat anybody last year. That was looking nice. So they beat the Vikings in the opener. They lost to the Cardinals. Then they beat the Redskins. They beat the Bears, which is their only good win. They beat the Browns. They beat the Cowboys. They beat the Bears again without Cutler. And then they beat the Packers without A-Raj. That was it.
They had nobody.
They lost to the Steelers, the Buccaneers, the Eagles, the Ravens, the Giants down the stretch, and did the Vikings the last game of the season.
So, in other words, that 6-3 season was a total mirage. 6-3 start was a total mirage.
Absolutely. They were actually more like that team that finished 1-6.
That's right. That's a good lesson to learn when we start looking at this team. So this could get ugly. Minnesota is a team, I think, I want to say there's a lot of variance with Minnesota, but I'm not so sure that they're going to be good.
Well, here's the thing. After going through, I think this is actually a good exercise for me because I was higher on the Lions than I thought I was. The Lions are going to suck.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry, they're not going to be good. Minnesota, meanwhile, I think you're right. I think the variance is probably between like 6 and 8 games, maybe 5 and 8 games.
Yeah, I mean, wins. I think, and this goes back to that Lions thing, which you're like, you know what? I kind of like the Lions. They can be good. They can be pretty good. You know, they were 6-3 last year. They lost because they were schizophrenic. Now they got this, you know, total zannied out Jim Caldwell. You know, it's like the opposite. You go from being schizo to just on permanent medication.
Yeah, he needs to hang out with Landis Skander.
That's right, yeah, popping Molly. No, God, no. Can you imagine Jim Caldwell popping Molly? Yeah, me either. But so you just assume they're going to, you know, improve with the stuff they got, but reality is maybe they're not ready. I mean, they're going to score points. But anyway, when you start looking at the Vikings, you want to be higher on them too because they've got, you know, I like Mike Zimmer. I think he'll coach up their defense. I like Teddy Bridgewater. I like North Turner as an offensive coordinator a lot.
I like North too.
But then you start, and you know, I mean, they got guys on defense. You know, they have three first round picks now, 4 with Anthony Barr. Sorry, you got Linville. You add Linville Joseph free agency. Your 4 first round picks: Sharif Floyd, Anthony Barr, their first round pick this year, Harrison Smith from 2012, and Xavier Rhodes from 2013.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, they have a lot of young talent on this offense. But are they good enough, even if Teddy Bridgewater exceeds expectations or Matt Cassel can play in North Turner's system, to rise up in a tough division?
They're not going to beat the Packers, and they're not going to beat the Bears, but I think they can be better than the Lions. You look at the schedule again. This is a tough schedule for the whole division, obviously, but I just don't think they're there yet. Matt Cassel is the worst quarterback in the division. And he's not bad. I mean, there are probably 10 teams that would have them, that would take him. But you know,
what's the Vikings record on Monday, October 13th, when they wake up and they've played Detroit at home? They go at St. Louis. That's a tough game.
Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna give them the win just because I'm so off the Rams bandwagon right now.
Really?
I'm so tired of giving them, saying this is the year, and then they just, you know, crap their pants.
New England at home. I'm going to give them a loss there.
And that's 1-2 after the next game.
Yep. And then Atlanta at home.
I don't know if they can beat the Falcons. I mean,
maybe they can, but I will say we'll give them 2-2. Then they go at Green Bay. That's a loss. And then Detroit at home is a total wild card. So they're either 3-3 or 2-4 with this critical 3-week stretch where you go at Buffalo, that sucks. I mean, if you're the Vikings, because you have two opponents you can beat, and they're both on the road in back to back weeks.
Yeah, that's right. That's just sort of the luck of the draw, and they got screwed. But they don't have an easy finish either. At Detroit, at Miami, Chicago.
Yeah, I mean it's not. And they're playing in that. Remember, they're playing in the TD Bank.
That
horrible college stadium. Yeah, I mean it's, and I mean, can you? Oh my God, can you imagine what it's going to be like in the middle of December or like late November?
Yeah,
that press box is open too. You'll have people tweeting about how sorry it is for the scribes up there and how.
Oh, is the press box open? That's fantastic.
Yeah, I love it. I think we should always have open press box. You don't like it? Go home. Go watch it at home.
Yeah, and you can sip soup and bellyache on Twitter there.
That's right.
Yeah. So again, I mean. I think the big question here is this team better than Detroit in terms of the standings in the NFC North? On paper, no. In reality, they might be better.
What's the dream scenario for the Vikings?
Oh, if they win 8 games, that'll be a huge morale booster. There's just no way they win it more than 8 games, I don't think.
Yeah, I think the best case scenario is Teddy Bridgewater starts from week 1, looks competent throughout the season. makes him, I'm serious, makes him believe that he's their franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
So they're sold on him. Cordarrelle Patterson keeps developing. Kyle Rudolph has a big season under North Turner, and they win 8 games. I mean, that's, yeah.
And don't forget, listen, I don't know, I think that Teddy Bridgewater's from Florida, but he played at Louisville. Where, he's from the South, so that whole winter time.
He's not from the middle of effing Minnesota.
Yeah, so that's something else to keep in mind. He's not been playing indoors the last 2 months of that season, so
he's going to need to be like Lloyd Christmas, like, I've got an extra pair of gloves.
That's right. So snot broke off his face. So, right, they play the very last games there. The previous 2 games are indoors or in the South. But they have 1, 2, 3.
Four. Now, the good news is they got Adrian Peterson. So when there's 8 feet of snow in Minnesota outdoors in December,
good Lord.
Peterson's plowing through the Lions. Or no, I guess they're in Miami. They won't know what to do. They'll be freezing.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's 3 games in the middle of November. I mean, all of a sudden you got Peterson running. I think worst case for this team, I mean, worst case is Teddy Bridgewater plays is not the guy.
Oh, God.
And Rick Spielman gets fired.
Well, that's the worst case for Spielman. Lions fans might feel differently.
Yeah, that's your very right.
But they could win 2 or 3 games. I mean, they did.
Yeah, they could be a 2-win team, sure.
They won, what, 4 games this year, last year?
Yeah. And remember, the year before they went for – I think the problem is people are like, oh, well, Adrian Peterson can just put this team on his back and rush for 2,300 yards and they'll win 10 games. I mean, that's not going to – it's not happening.
Oh, wait. They went 5-10-1 last year. They were the ones who tied the Packers. God, that was an awful game.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So 5-10-1. But I'm trying to think. They can win more than 2 games. Let's see. They can beat the Lions once. They can beat the Redskins at home. The Redskins, yeah. I don't.
They can beat Buffalo at Buffalo.
Yeah. Yeah, all right. Between 3 and 8 wins, I think.
I mean, if I was giving you the over-under at 5.5, are you taking the over-under?
Oh.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's what we're saying. The best-case dream scenario, 8 wins.
Yeah.
Moving along to the AFC South, where everything is, this is a worst case division, quite honestly.
That's right.
This is the team that we're talking about first, because they are the team that is playing on Thursday night, which we'll talk about in a second. Jaguars and Bears. What's the best case scenario for the Jacksonville Jaguars?
I'm not sure about this whole conversation with Coach Gus Bradley and Dave Cole, the GM, saying that Bortles is going to sit all year. I'm fine with him sitting for a month or so, but I think, you know, he's the third overall pick. He's your guy. Things are starting over, and I get that, and you have a plan in place. But I don't know if sitting the entire year benefits him. I know this sounds like Pete Prisco. You draft a young kid, you play him. But I think you can ease him into that role. Let Chad Henne do it for September, maybe a little bit of October, and then put Bortles out there if he can do some things. We've seen rookies play well before in the past who've had less training than, you know, a month and a half or whatever. I think the best case scenario starts with having Blake Bortles on the field and him getting accustomed to playing in the NFL week in and week out. They're not going to do anything this year. They're not going to win. I mean, there's no way they win 8 games. If they win 8 games, they should be given extra wins for each additional game, so they're 16-0, because that I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I got him as a how many wins did I give him? 6 wins, which is actually higher than I thought. Yeah, and it was a late season storming, if I recall my addition correctly. Well, I mean, you look at it. They open up at Philly, at Washington, and then you play Indy at home, at San Diego, Pittsburgh at home, at Tennessee. Tennessee stinks. Tennessee, yeah. I think Tennessee's going to stink. But then Cleveland at home, Miami at home. That's a nice little stretch in week 7 and 8 before you go at Cincinnati and then home against Dallas. So I agree. I think that that Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley's whole philosophy on Blake Bortles tells us all we need to know about the Jacksonville Jaguars in 2014. They don't expect a whole lot.
That could be the other thing. They don't want him to get murdered like David Carr did in his rookie season with when he took 70-something sacks in Houston. Also, there's no what's his name? Who's the first round pick that can't stay on the field? The wide receiver from Oklahoma State.
Oh, Justin Blackmon.
Yeah, I mean, he gets suspended every other weekend.
He is done with that team. They're just not going to relinquish his rights, I think.
Cecil Shorts is a good player, but he's not a number one. Marquise Lee, their second-round pick. Gus Bradley said after the first preseason game, he needs to hustle more.
I mean, then Allen Robinson's the other guy they like. I mean, that's really my big concern about not playing Blake Bortles, is that you used your two second-round picks on rookie wide receivers. Allen Robinson and Marquise Lee and Blake Bortles are going to be working together for the next 5 years. Why wouldn't you start them all right away?
Well, the thinking actually, I thought you were going to go in the other direction. Maybe the thinking is you don't want Bortles having to throw passes where he thinks Marquise Lee and Allen Robinson are going to be, and they don't know where they're supposed to be, and then it just sort of sets them back more than it gives them experience.
That's fair. That's fair. The offensive line's going to be better. They signed Zane Beatles, Luke Jokel.
Exactly. Yeah.
I like Toby Gerhart this year.
Come on. He's not a number one. I mean, look, I know the running back role's been diminished, but let's be honest. He ain't going to do for whoever's the quarterback, Chad Henne, what AP's doing for Matt Castle.
But I thought that Gerhart and Zane Beatles were smart free agent signings in that they weren't like flashy. They didn't cost a ton. They'll put in good, they'll do good work. And I think that this team, the best case scenario is 6 wins. And I've got them best case scenario with 6 wins. And they make some noise. Bortles plays well after they start. I think they're going to start out 0-6. Legit. I mean, they might not. I mean, are they beating Indy at home in week 3? I mean, I don't expect them to go on the road and win the first 2 weeks. I don't expect them to beat Indy at home. I definitely don't expect them to go to San Diego and win. I think Pittsburgh is going to stomp them. So I think
Tennessee?
I think they start 0-5.
Yeah, you think they have a chance against Tennessee. Then they play the Browns. Johnny Manziel will have long been established as a starting quarterback
by
week 7.
That's right.
But yeah.
But I mean, once you're 0-5, and it's great, people are sitting in the cabanas, they're hanging out for a while, they're getting hammered in downtown Jacksonville.
Don't forget the pool.
That's what I said, the cabanas, the pool side. They're sitting poolside. I mean, you're checking out, you're flipping to red zone, watching other games. I mean, whatever. They're just not going to be, I don't think they're going to be that great. I mean, it's interesting if you look at the ticket sales, that you can look at available tickets, and the Jaguars are selling tickets. People want to come see the Jaguars, and I think that they're producing a product that is going to be dangerous in 2015 if they are right on Bortles. But 2014, the best case is 6 wins. Worst case is Blake Bortles comes in and looks woefully, woefully in over his head. And
looks like Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, I mean, that's not going to happen because his arm's stronger, or he looks like Blake Gabbert. That's the worst case.
That's a better comparison, right? Yeah, no, okay. In that sense, I'm starting to change my tune. Maybe you should sit. There's no rush. There's nothing. No one for him to throw to. The offensive line is better, but it's still suspect. No real running game. I mean, Toby Gerhart isn't going to scare anybody. The defense is young and trying to become better. I love Dwayne Gratz, a cornerback, but that's only because I watched him a lot in college at UConn. But
and Jonathan Cyprian's nice. That defense is getting better. Yeah, defense is getting better. They're building a nice product down there. And I think you can go both ways on Bortles, too, because it's like if he exceeds expectations before the season and he looks like a guy who could do, who could be decent or could be good, then you shouldn't just stick to the plan just because that's your plan.
Yep. That's right.
You got it. I think they'll be willing to adjust.
Well, we'll see. And like you said, there's no rush. They're not going to bust out of the gate 5-0 and have to rearrange their long-term plans for Bortles or whoever else they have plans for.
That's right. What about the Indianapolis Colts? You called their ascension last year.
2 years ago.
2 years ago, and then whiffed on their descension last year when they still managed to win 11 games. This is a team that's lost Donald Thomas, Vic Ballard. They want to be this running team. They traded away a first-round pick for Trent Richardson. They want to be this Stanford-type offense. They've added a bunch of defensive players. None of them are like that great. Your boy, Ricky Jean Francois.
There he is.
Eric Walden. I figured I'd tell you who it was before you know.
Or ass.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, a bunch of these guys they've added in recent years. Nobody – I was doing an indie interview yesterday, and the guy was – pointing out how it's like this makeshift Jalopnik Indy car that Ryan Grigson builds, where he adds these pieces, and you're like, how is this going to form a car? And then they ended up running, and he continued the analogy and noted that it's because the driver's really freaking good, and the driver's Andrew Luck.
Right, the driver wasn't Tony Stewart.
No, that's what I could. Yeah,
that was too much. But I was actually just about to ask you while you were talking, who'd they get in the first round? His name would be Trent Richardson.
Trent Richardson. Yeah. the really messed up, effed up thing is I know that Trent Richardson's not any good, and I don't think he's gonna magically develop. But I still have in the back of my head that he could break out this year.
Well, that's on you. I don't think he thinks he can. I think the coaching staff is tired of having to support him with smiley faces and saying, oh, he just didn't know the offense or whatever. Because he's a running back. He's not a quarterback. There's not anything to know other than take the ball.
You're not diagnosing defenses, bro.
Yeah, exactly. And now they're in real trouble. Again, you know, this is a passing league, but you do need to have someone back there who can run the ball occasionally. It's now down to Trent Richardson and Ahmad Bradshaw, who's 100 years old, because the guys you mentioned, Thomas is gone. And Thomas, is that his name?
Donald Thomas. Yeah, their guard they signed last year in the offseason.
Oh, not Thomas. Who's the guy in San Diego, the running back?
Donald Brown. Damn it, Donald.
Yeah, he's
you know
gone.
The damn it, Donald line, right?
What's that from?
You never seen, remember the Peyton Manning clip? You haven't seen that? Where it's like he misses a block and Manning's running around the side and he goes, "God damn it, Donald!"
Google, says it while he's running.
Yeah, Google, "Damn it, Donald!" real quick.
That's here. Hysterical. They also lost.
I'm gonna turn up this volume and play it for you.
To the ACL injury.
Let's see if this will pick this up.
Oh, there it is. Oh my God, that's hysterical.
Yeah,
oh,
no, he yells, "Damn it."
There it is.
Hold on. I don't know if that picked up or not, but you can hear it. It's just, it has like it has half a million views on YouTube. But it's just,
yeah, I'm looking at this. That's hysterical.
It's just Peyton scrambling right, getting chased around the field. Yeah, God damn it, Donald.
And he's running to his right, looking over his shoulder at Donald.
Yelling at Donald Brown.
Oh, that's hysterical.
Oh, God. If anybody couldn't hear that, I'm sure you probably couldn't, just Google "damn it, Donald." So his nickname is "Damn it, Donald Brown." Anyway, he's gone to San Diego.
Let me tell you something. He's going to be saying a lot of "damn it, Trent" this year. Oh, he's not there, but Andrew Luckwell. Got ahead of myself.
Dadgummit, Trent.
Yeah.
You got Trent Richardson, Ahmad Bradshaw, who never stays healthy. No. If Trent Richardson is 2.5 yards in a cloud of dust, how is Pep Hamilton going to justify having this aggressive run defensive game, not using no huddle? Because, I mean, if I have this personnel, if I have Reggie Wayne, T.Y. Hilton, Hakeem Nicks, Dante Moncrief, Derek Rogers, and then like a slew of undrafted, you know, youngsters that can get out there and play, and I have Andrew Luck, who's one of the most cerebral young quarterbacks in the league, my first move is to switch to a no-huddle, up-tempo, pass-heavy offense. And then that'll let Trent Richardson run, because all of a sudden people aren't worried about Trent. They're going to worry about the pass, and Trent can be able to run from there.
Yeah, I think it's sort of a situation that you have with sort of Tom Brady light, and as long as you have Andrew Luck, you're okay. Because last year I said there's no way this team replicates those 11 wins, and they did. And also, look, if this team wins 9 games, guess what? They're still winning the division. So they have a little wiggle room.
They win 8 games, they're still winning the division.
Yeah, they win 7 games, they're still winning the division. But
That is correct.
But I'm not super pumped with the way Ryan Grigson's putting this team together the last few years. And I'm also, as you point out, your offense, and Pep Hamilton should know this from working with Andrew Luck in college, has to fit your players. So you take a look in the backfield behind Trent Richardson and go, you know what? We need to help these guys out, because honestly, they suck. and running a pro-style offense where you just line up and give the ball to Trent Richardson is going to do exactly what you think it's going to do. It's going to get you 2.5 yards. You're going to be punting in 3 plays. And while Pat McAfee is awesome, you prefer not to use him as often as you would have to. So, yeah. But I think it doesn't really matter on some level, because you have Andrew Luck. So the offense, I mean, there could be probably a more efficient, better tailored offense for Andrew Luck. But he's out there, and you're in the worst division in football. So you have some.
Go through the motions. Try to beat New England or Denver. Make people wonder. I mean, like, they're winning. They're winning 8+ games.
They could start 0-2 though, and then what are we talking about? They play at Denver, then they host the Eagles.
Yeah.
Both primetime games. Well, you know what we're talking about next? Oh, they play the Jaguars and the Titans. That's what we're talking about.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, their worst case scenario is they win 8 games and still win the division.
And that's going to – there's no team – there's no way Titans
– The dude who I interviewed with in Indy, really nice guy, but he told me that – he was like, we were talking to your colleague, Jason Lockenfour. He said they'd win 11 games with Matt Hasselbeck. And you know what? He might be right.
Yeah, that's – he's not wrong. Yeah. I mean, Matt Hasselbeck would be a much better option in Houston than Ryan Fitzpatrick. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, absolutely. And so best case for the Colts is they win 12 games.
Good Lord. Yeah, I guess.
Why not?
Well, let's see here. The Broncos game, this is the tough games they have. Broncos, Eagles, Ravens, Bengals, Steelers, Giants, Patriots. That's it.
The last half of their schedule. That's 5 games, right?
Their last 7 games.
One, two, three, four, five. Six. Yeah, I mean, so, I mean, that's like six or seven games.
Yeah, no, they can win 11 games. You're right.
Right. I mean, absolutely, they can win. They can win 12 games. I mean, it's not that hard for them to do it just because of their. You know, you're talking about like six good games in conference, and they've just found a way. I mean, that's how good Andrew Luck is. He has more fourth quarter wins in the last 2 years than anybody else in the NFL, I think. Excuse me.
Huh? Quickly, I'll read you this little tweet I saw came across the old tweet machine from our buddy Chris Westland at NFL. .com. Old buddy Andy Benoit, he's not SI.com. The best signing this offseason, Steve Smith. That sounds like a stretch to me.
Like Steve Smith of the Ravens?
Yeah, I can't believe that.
That sounds like a stretch to me, said the Steelers fan. No, I'd agree with you though. But do you want to talk about that, or do you?
Sorry,
want
to... I just saw that. I just thought it was a bit much, especially from Andy, who's usually pretty even keeled. Okay, so 12 wins is the max.
Yeah.
Seven wins is the absolute low mark, and they're still winning the division.
That's right. Playoff, seven wins in a playoff trip. Low mark for the Indianapolis Colts. For the Houston Texans, losers of 12 straight in 2000.
No, 14 straight.
14 straight, you're right. Yeah, they won their first two games and lost the next 14.
And they should have lost those first two games.
Yeah, that's right. So I think we've pretty much uncovered the Armageddon situation, right?
This is it in the first episode. This is when you get Ben Affleck and Bruce Willis to fly into that asteroid.
That's right. Yeah, at least Steven Tyler's daughter would be involved in that case. Right?
And Steve Buscemi.
And Buscemi, that's right. So are you sure that wasn't Con Air?
I'm pretty sure. I don't know if he was in Con Air, but he was.
He's definitely in Con Air. He's the creepy villain guy. He's playing with a doll and then his nice little girl.
All right. Anyway.
You're shrugging off Con Air and you're talking about Armageddon. So best case of the Texans is an actual Armageddon. Asteroid destroys the city of Houston.
Literally hits the Reliant Stadium. That's right. Good call.
Worst case is 2013 Redux. I don't think that's going to happen. They should be better with Clowney on defense.
Looked like crap against a very good Cardinals team, but it's still a preseason.
Yeah, but I mean, like, they should be better than last year. Offense should be better than last year. I mean, look, this is the worst team in the NFL last year.
Let me show you something. I don't know if you saw the tweets going back. With me and Michael David Smith and our buddy Aaron Schatz at Football Outsiders about
preseason stuff, yeah.
Predicting preseason,
and then Aaron Schatz said that you got a shoddy retweet because Aaron
that's right. I found one of the readers at Football Outsiders did this study back in 06, looking at preseason performance and seeing that there's any correlation between how you play in the first half of preseason games, usually when the starters are in,
yeah,
and comparing that to how the regular season plays out. And here's what his name is Pat. Here's what he found. But it seems like the data are trying to indicate that preseason does, in fact, mean something. And this is the money shot. At the very least, fans should be concerned when teams are blown out in the first half of preseason games.
Hello, Texans.
God almighty. I mean, 32-0 at the end of the game. They were obviously still shut out at halftime. It was I think it was 20-something-0 at halftime. And they looked like dog crap. So, that's a problem.
Yeah, and so, look, I did like the total wins for these. You know, I was playing out the seasons or whatever. I mean, very quickly. But I had to take a break for some reason. I can't remember why. Maybe it was the weekend. But I started doing them, and I got about halfway through, and then the Texans played the Cardinals, and then I finished up. And I think that – so I had them at 6-10, and I'm pretty sure that – like
Jesus,
I'm pretty that's sure that all six – that's best case, exactly. I'm pretty sure all six of those wins – came in before the Texans Cardinals game when I was like, whoa, hold on here. Now, again,
they play the Raiders in week two. They can win that game. I don't know if you watched the Raiders yet, but this is going to be a great
matchup. Raiders. I have the Raiders winning.
To win that game
in three games. Three games all year,
and that's one of them.
No. I have the Texans winning that game.
Okay, it's at Oakland, but you know you have the matchup factor going for you if you're Houston. Oh God. They're not going to beat the Redskins in the opener.
But they could beat Buffalo at home, and all of a sudden you're 2-2. You sneak one out against...
I think Buffalo's going to be better than we think they are.
I don't. I think you're going to stay. Okay. I've fallen into that trap before. You're going to be so much more mad about that one than you are about the Rams.
Yeah, that's
because you're like, why the hell did I pick Buffalo to be good? I picked them to make the playoffs 2 years ago.
Yeah, that's a bit much. What about this Week 5 matchup? Houston hosting the Cowboys.
No, it's Houston at the Cowboys.
Oh, at Cowboys. Sorry, yeah.
I like Houston. I think Dallas is going to be terrible.
God. What?
Whedon versus Ryan Fitzpatrick.
You know what the great thing about that game is? The spread's going to be a pick'em, and the over-under is going to be 400 points.
That's right. And it's going to be a fun, like, terrible game. Yeah, exactly. I mean, they can beat Tennessee at Tennessee. They can beat Tennessee at home. They can beat Jacksonville at Jacksonville. I mean, they could be. They could win. They could win at Cleveland. Yes, they can. I mean, because these are terrible football teams we're talking about.
Let me look. They got swept by Jacksonville last year.
Yes, that's Gary Kubiak got fired the day after the second loss, despite having had a heart attack 5 weeks earlier. They had a heart attack on the field 5 weeks after he had it.
They were doing him a favor. They wanted to have another heart attack.
That's right. It's a liability thing.
Holy crap. Yeah. So, six games is the utmost they can win.
Sure.
If this team somehow turns out to be one of those teams that turns things around, they win 11 games.
No.
Best case is 6. Worst case is 0.
If they had a quarterback, maybe. Even if they had a quarterback who had like some mystery about him, like Ryan Mallett or Kirk Cousins, I would at least
have a hope.
Yeah, I mean Fitzpatrick, Tom Savage, Case Keenum, no.
Yeah. So, all right, they're not going to go winless. So I'll say the worst case is 1 game. I'll give them 1 game. They'll beat the Raiders.
Two games is their worst case scenario.
You think they'll between the 4 games for the Titans and the Jaguars?
That stretch. Like at some point, somebody's given up down that stretch. Cleveland or Jacksonville.
Last year was Houston.
That's right. Yeah, and then remember you and I both picked them to win the division last year. So what the hell do we know?
They won 12 games 2 years ago.
I know because everybody was jumping on Indy. We're like, no, Houston's coming back. I'm not making fun of you. I'm making fun of me.
No, I'm not mad. I'm mad that they won 2 games after winning 12 or whatever.
Exactly. All right. Let's look at the Tennessee Titans as the final team.
The most boring team in football.
This is the worst division in football. I mean, or it's not the worst. It's just the most boring.
What's worse?
I mean, maybe the NFC East is worse.
No. If you had an all-star team of those divisions, I'm taking the NFC East every game.
That's actually a really – we should do that for the next podcast.
There you go.
Put together your all-star team from the I'll bring the AFC South all-star team. All division all-star teams. We'll do that for another podcast.
All right.
Okay, so the Tennessee Titans.
They're so boring.
The deal with them that makes them at least interesting.
I just said they're boring twice.
I know. So not only – they have 5 guys on their offensive line. Michael Ruse, your lock job left tackle. Andy LaVitre, recently signed. Chance Warmack, 2013 – first-round pick at right guard, Brian Schwenke, 2013 fourth-round pick at center, and then Michael Orr, who you signed at free agency to be your right tackle, and they go and draft Taylor Lewan. And I get that he was good value there in the first round, but you literally have no place to play him. You have so
Can
many
play
other
quarterback.
No, you have so many. Maybe I mean you have so many other needs, and you do that. I didn't get it, and it's a red flag.
No, earlier this month, I was convinced that they had taken Anthony Barr. That's how little Taylor Lewan had done. I was looking for Anthony Barr. I said, wait a second. Then you trapped that guy. They could have used Anthony Barr, but they got Taylor Lewan.
They got some players. They don't have Alderon Werner anymore, as we discovered on the podcast last week. Earlier, they have Jason McCourty. They have some players on this defense, but you'll be able to speak to this maybe better than me, but they are taking these guys from this 3-4 defense, and they were designed for it. Jarrell Casey, an unbelievable defensive tackle in that 3-4 system, had 10.5 sacks, I think, last year. Derek Morgan. And they're stuffing these guys into I just drew a blank on his name. Oh, my God. Ray Horton.
Yeah.
Ray Horton. I was going to say Rod Woodson for some reason. Ray Horton's 3-4 defense. And I like Ray Horton a lot as a defensive coordinator, but I question whether or not the personnel will work with his defense. Am I right or wrong?
Well, we just talked about that with Pep Hamilton, trying to squeeze guys into positions that may not necessarily be best fits for them. So, Ray Horton was at Cleveland last year, was one and done there, not necessarily his fault. Before that, he was in Arizona. He and Bruce Arians loved each other. He made a name for himself there. Before that, he was with the Steelers. So, yeah, he's comes with credentials, and, he's one of these hot up-and-comer coordinators. We'll see. I mean, look, the Titans have a lot of athletes on that side of the ball, and they're relatively young, so maybe there's something they can do with that. But if they're not getting pass rush, it doesn't matter what you're doing in the back with the secondary, how good they are. And the secondary is relatively young outside of Michael Griffin and Bernard Pollard. McCourty's good. Sinsenbaugh, I'll be honest, I don't know a lot about him, but he's young. And then behind them, they have my boy Bleedy Ray Wilson from UConn. So I don't know what to make of this defense. For the reasons you point out and for some of the kind of the wild cards about the back end, especially the front seven isn't doing what the front seven needs to do, not only to keep the offense off the field, but to get the ball back to Jake Locker so he can do what we got in Jake Locker.
Right, and that's the thing. So we're buying into the fact that Ken Whisenhunt helped flip around Philip Rivers last year and kind of making – jump into the – and he did it with Kurt Warner too and kind of jump into the conclusion that he can do it with Jake Locker.
I didn't jump to that conclusion.
I think a lot of people are. I mean, a lot of people are expecting an offensive improvement by default because Ken Whisenhunt, greater than symbol, Mike Munchak when it comes to quarterbacks.
Should have taken the Detroit job.
Yeah, of course. That's beside the point, though. But, I mean, the running game, Bishop Sankey is okay. I mean, he's going to get a lot of carries. Sean Green is entirely uninspiring. Dexter McCluster is involved in the depth chart. The wide.
That's the best thing you can say about
it. Yeah, that's right. The wide receiver.
He's listed on the depth chart.
I know, just please, Dre Archer, don't be him. Justin Hunter, Kendall Wright, Nate Washington. I mean, a decent. Justin Hunter could have a big year. Kendall Wright quietly had 90 catches last season. Jake Locker looked pretty good his first few weeks. I don't think this is a good team.
It's not a good team. Delanie Walker, I like a lot, but they don't have a number two wide receiver. Nate Washington is 400 years old. You hope Justin Hunter stands up, but is he a legit number two play in and play out? No, I don't think so yet. And then behind that, there's literally nobody. Derek Hagan, who's an old-timer. Brian Rabisky's on the roster, but he's been cut so many times he probably has lost count.
When you're using the phrase on the roster or involved in the depth chart, something's
exactly.
gone wrong.
Yeah, I mean, he was cut by the Browns a couple times.
Yeah.
Mark Mariani broke his leg, I think, at the beginning of the last preseason, was it? Or maybe it was two preseasons ago. But anyway, he's not.
Michael Preston is actually dead, and they just don't know.
they didn't find that out. But, yeah, so this team not only is extremely boring, I don't think there's a lot of upside. Their team that could win, you know, eight games. I'm saying you wouldn't remember one of them.
I mean, are they winning eight games?
No, they're not. I think they're not worse than the Jaguars on paper, I think. I think they'll finish higher than the Jaguars. They're better than the Texans, too. But I think we're looking at a six-win team. And I think that's the best and the worst case scenario.
I got them winning four. I mean, three of their first four games are on the road against Cincinnati, Indy, and Kansas City. That's three.
I'm going to call it now. They're going to beat the Chiefs in Kansas City.
Okay, I can buy that. I can see a lot of people taking the Chiefs and Survivor, and that being the flip you for real pick. But regardless, I mean, Dallas at home in week two is not a, you know, no cakewalk there, although Dallas stinks.
Oh, they're going to be 2-0, and we're going to be talking about it. That's what's going to happen.
That's a pretty good call. And then they're going to lose two straight, be 2-2. But then they got Cleveland and Jacksonville at home.
They're going to lose to Johnny Manziel in week five.
Okay, all right. I mean, that's a good call. That should be one of your bold predictions. The Titans start 2-0. There you go.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. I'm sure you'll hustle to write that up.
I just sent it in. writing feature on Titans' first two games. I like that. That's
write
a bold. You better pick the Titans in week one to win straight up.
Yeah, I got to write this down because I forget it.
You need to defend your last place title 2 years ago.
Chargers will go winless.
But all right, so the three of the first four on the road is tough. But you look at once you start bringing in Cleveland and Jacksonville, first six games are manageable. I just don't see more than 6 wins for this team.
Yeah, you're not going to talk me into more than 6 wins either. They're not a good team.
Look at the back end they got after the bye in week nine. They got at Baltimore, Pittsburgh at home on Monday night, although they beat Pittsburgh on Thursday night last year, at Philly. At Houston, you know, you don't want to.
No, they beat Pittsburgh in the season opener last year. They beat them on Thursday night a few years ago.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah, because that's when Marquise Pouncey's leg got blown up by David DeCastro.
That's right.
But, yeah, they lost is the point.
Yeah. At Philly, at Houston, so you get back-to-back road games there. Then you go New York at home, the two New Yorks at home, back-to-back Giants-Jets. Then at Jacksonville and Indy at home. I see them winning, like, one game in that stretch. I'm dead serious. It's not even a joke. I'm dead serious.
It's going to be the Jaguars.
That's right.
They're not going to beat both the Texans and the Jaguars in that stretch.
They'll beat somebody in that stretch.
But I don't think of the Texans and Jaguars game. They're not going 2-0 in those games.
No, absolutely not. They're not going to beat Baltimore or Pittsburgh or at Philly. I mean, weird things happen in the NFL, but I mean, like, two wins max in that stretch. So then what do you got before the bye? You can give them four if you want. I think six is about right.
Yeah. Nah, you're not going to get any argument out of me. The problem for Ken Whisenhunt is he's going to be looking for a quarterback in about 10 months' time, 8 months' time.
That's right.
And I don't know who I know where he is. He's in Detroit right now, but he didn't take that job. So
hey, maybe he sees one of the maybe Jameis Winston is coming his way.
Well, he's going to have to fight Jerry Jones for him.
That's right. All right, that's it. There's a best case, just 6-6. I mean, that's just that is our line on the Titans. Best case, worst case is they're just not allowed to do anything else. They're going to win six games one way or another. Nothing can stop them. No. They could actually be worse than that, but you get the point. Anything you want to touch on? I think you have to take care of a kid, right?
Yeah. And I'll be honest, I don't care about this Jacksonville Chicago game. I'll watch probably the first
two. You want to see Blake Bortles?
I do like Blake Bortles, but I don't know if I'm going to sit through it. I'm going to have to watch it later.
Those are the things to watch. You want to see if Marquise Lee can respond to Gus Bradley's public complaint, because Gus is pretty optimistic. He doesn't usually do that. You want to see if he can respond to his public complaint. You want to see how Blake Bortles looks against either first or second team or third team or whoever he's playing against. I want to see how the Jacksonville defensive line, the defense as a whole, if they continue to improve, the Jaguars will be better than we expect. And on the Bears side of things, I really just care about that defensive line. If that defensive line is better, the Bears will be a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, I'm not willing to go that far, but that's right. They'll help them a long way in December and hopefully beyond that.
All right, we'll be back Friday to preview the weekend of NFL preseason week 2 action and talk about all the things that we discovered about Bears and Jaguars. Plus, we might do two more of these. Best case, worst case. In the meantime, subscribe via iTunes. For Ryan Wilson, I am Will Brinson. We will talk to you guys soon.